First, there will be some big changes at Wisconsin's youth prisons under a new settlement between the state and teen inmates. The deal would end the use of pepper spray at the two facilities, Copper Lake and Lincoln Hills, and it will also restrict future use of solitary confinement. Patrick Marley is a state capitol reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's been following this story. Patrick, thanks a lot for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Rob.
Remind us, Patrick, who brought this lawsuit? What were they alleging?
Last year, inmates represented by the ACLU and the Juvenile Law Center sued, alleging that the conditions there were unconstitutional and violating the civil rights of the inmates. A judge within 6 or 8 months sided with them in an initial ruling that put an injunction in place, finding that their civil rights likely were being violated, and scheduling a trial. That initial order restricted the use of pepper spray, restricted the use of solitary confinement and handcuffs and other restraints. And from there, both sides went into settlement talks. Obviously, that was kind of behind the scenes, so we didn't know exactly what was happening there. They reached this agreement last week that goes further than the injunction in terms of diminishing the use of pepper spray and solitary confinement, and found a permanent solution to put that in as the new policy for the state that would be in effect not just for these two prisons, but for any juvenile lockup that the state is going to be operating. There was recently an agreement to close Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake and replace them with five new, actually I guess I haven't determined the number, about five new juvenile lockups around the state.
Yeah, let's talk a little more about that context before we dig into this settlement more, Patrick. As you say, Lincoln Hills, Copper Lake are on the way out, and this all stems from allegations of abuse and neglect at the facilities, lack of worker safety. We've been talking about these problems for a long time.
Yeah, there's been a criminal investigation that's more than 3 years old now. The FBI has been heading it for about 2 years, looking into a broad range of problems. Two former guards have been notified that they could be charged. That's involving an incident involving a juvenile who had his arm broken while he was in custody. We don't know what other things exactly the FBI may be looking at, but there are plenty of allegations. And, you know, this lawsuit was just one of, I think there are at least four other pending, one from two girls from Iowa who had had been staying at Lincoln or at Copper Lake as on part of a contract. The youth who had his arm broken by the guards, allegedly, and there's another case that I'm not recalling at the moment. And then, of course, the state just recently reached a settlement with a fifth inmate for $19 million, which is the largest, or at least one of the largest, civil rights settlements between the state and an inmate over civil rights.
Well, let's get into the details of this settlement. Solitary confinement, is that gone there, or just restricted in how it's how it gets used under the settlement?
So there's a sort of a phase-in period of many months because it's, you know, a big change to the institution and how it manages its population. But there will be no solitary confinement for punitive purposes. So it used to be, or it is currently, if you violate certain rules, you get put in solitary confinement for days or weeks. Now they won't be able to do that at all. They will be able to use solitary confinement in instances where an inmate is a physical threat to someone else, but they can only do it in 4-hour increments. They can get extensions for that, but there has to be this constant effort to get the juvenile out of solitary and into general population. If they're held there for longer than 24 hours, it needs to be because they're going to be moved to another facility, presumably a facility that's more intensive in its mental health care.
And then the use of pepper spray at Lincoln Hills in particular has gotten a lot of attention. What changes there now?
They won't be able to use it at all. Again, there's a phase-in period for that, but they will not be able to deploy it at Lincoln Hills or Copper Lake or any of these new facilities at all.
With both of those, I've seen people cite those as possible safety concerns. Lincoln Hills has been understaffed a lot of the time. The staff would need to be retrained in techniques to manage inmates. Have people raised concerns over safety of inmates and staff without those, or what some people have referred to as tools?
Yeah, so and when they rolled out the pepper spray a few years ago at Lincoln Hills and made it more widely available to guards, the argument was that it is safer for both the guard and the inmate to incapacitate someone with pepper spray than putting your hands on them and trying to physically restrain them. You know, whenever you put your hands on an inmate, you have the risk of, you know, broken bones or some other injury. And so the idea was that the pepper spray would be more likely to more safely stop what's happening. The concern of the ACLU and other advocates for the juveniles is that it's used far too often, that it's used in a threatening manner, and that it's not used in the way that it's that you're supposed to do. There's supposed to be a certain distance. It's supposed to be used in sort of a sweeping motion so that you fog an area around an inmate, and they found instances where people were squirted directly in the face at very short distances. It's going to be a concern for the staff not having the pepper spray. They're going to raise concerns about feeling less safe. The Department of Corrections officially says that it believes that it can manage its population safely and appropriately without pepper spray. That's why they reached this agreement.
Patrick Marley is with us from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, looking at a settlement between the state's Department of Corrections and youth inmates, changing procedures at Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake, the state's youth prisons, which are scheduled to be phased out and replaced. This settlement, Patrick, also provides for someone to monitor conditions at the facilities to make sure these policies are being followed. Who's doing that? How's that going to work?
So they've hired a consultant. She will have access to the facility. She'll be able to inspect it, you know, physically go there, look around, I think four times in the first year, and then twice a year after that. She'll have broad access to the records that have been that the Department of Corrections maintains about the facility, and so she will be an independent entity who can make sure that they're actually following this agreement, and that's going to be a very significant element here, because there will be someone there holding the state's feet to the fire, so to speak.
And Patrick, what kind of reactions have you been hearing about the settlement from various stakeholders?
You know, the ACLU and Juvenile Law Center are very pleased with this. The advocates for the inmates feel like they're on a string of victories here because of this decision to close the facility and put these new facilities in place. And I think they view these changes as extremely significant because, like I said, they will apply to these new facilities. There's been a concern among some who are advocates for the youth in prison there that if the state isn't careful, it will go from having one big problem at one large facility to five big problems at five small facilities. And so by having this independent monitor there, there'll be an ability to make sure right out of the gate that things are running as they should. I actually haven't heard much from the staff so far. In the past, the staff has been very troubled by the injunction, feeling like it took away their ability to manage the population to some extent. I imagine there's going to be those kinds of concerns lingering. You know, the staff up there is very frustrated by the lack of a full staff. It's been a real problem for the Department of Corrections to find and retain staff there. That's going to continue to be a problem. They're going to be short staffed for the foreseeable future. And so they're going to have to, you know, get new training and new programs in place, but they're going to have to do it when they're not at full strength. That's going to be a problem that they wrestle with for some time now.
And Patrick, I think a lot of people on various sides of this issue are hopeful that these newer, smaller facilities will help solve a lot of these problems. But what's the timeline? How much longer is there for the big facilities up north?
So it's supposed to close in by 2021. You know, I think we'll be right against that timeline. I think it'd be hard for the state to get everything up and running before then because some of these facilities are going to be run by counties. Some of them will be run by the state. They've got to determine where they're going to be, which counties want to be involved. The counties that, you know, where they're not located will have to make decisions about who they contract with. The idea usually is that you want to have the juveniles as close to their home county as possible so that they can see family and friends and access the services that they'll access when they get out easily. There's a lot of unknowns there as they put the pieces together here. So I think they're probably going to need every day that they have between now and 2021 to make that happen.
And briefly, Patrick, as we wrap up, this settlement has all these changes, ending the use of pepper spray, changing solitary confinement, the other things we've talked about. And you've mentioned there's a roll-in period. Do we have a sense of when this settlement would be in full effect?
So it's going to next go to, because it's a class action lawsuit, the judge makes it available for anybody who qualifies as a class, which is basically anybody who's incarcerated there, to review it and challenge it. You know, sometimes in class action lawsuits, I don't think you'd see this with this one, but sometimes people don't like the deal that is cut. So there will be an opportunity for others to weigh in if they don't like aspects of it. The judge will ultimately... you know, presuming that he agrees with it, we'll sign off on it sometime in the next maybe 2 months. And then from there, you start this clock with about a year, various things, you know, some things phase in after 6 or 7 months, some things a full year. I believe it's pepper sprays after a year that they end that. And so then they'll go through that process. But the monitoring would probably occur for 3 or more years of these facilities and then the new ones that are being built.
We'll leave it there. Patrick, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
That's Patrick Marley from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel looking at this new settlement on the state's youth prisons and practices there. Stick around. There's more to come here on Central Time on the Ideas Network.